Vern Rayburn era ends at Eclipse Aviation. Roel Pieper steps in as interim CEO. And the synthetic vision war is on. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast, and welcome back to Oshkosh. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, July 28, 2008. Last year at AirVenture, Eclipse Aviation CEO Vern Rayburn made a really big splash at his company's press conference, rolling up in the Eclipse 400 nobody knew would be there. He pretty much pushed everyone else off page one again this year, but this time, there was no beaming smile. Rayburn started with good news, announcing that Eclipse had secured its next round of financing. Then,
but as part of the terms of that commitment and agreements that had to be made with our debt investors to secure the agreement to clear the way for those investments, there's been a required change in leadership in the company. So effective today, I am stepping down as president and CEO of Eclipse Aviation, and will be leaving the company effective today.
Rayburn will be replaced by Roel Pieper, CEO of European Technology and Investment Research Center Aviation, usually called ETURC, an Eclipse distributor and major investor. Pieper struggled with an obviously awkward situation.
I can assure you that the decisions were made in the past week were complicated, as they should be. They were positive in the sense that we did find all the necessary funding to take the company forward.
There's lots more detail, including reaction from Eclipse owners, in the text version of this story at aero-news.net. The competition among aircraft manufacturers is intense. The competition among the companies making avionics for them is even hotter. Garmin announced at AirVenture that it has received an STC with approved model list for its G600, a revolutionary new avionics suite design for the retrofit market. The FAA's approval allows the G600 to be installed in 785 different makes and models of normal and utility category aircraft, including piston twins and turboprops up to 12,500 pounds. The G600 uses two big LCD displays, and Garmin touts its intuitive interface, something which has not necessarily been a strong point in its big brother, the G1000. The system is available now. MSRP is about $30,000. Avadyne Corporation returned fire with a message for pilots, manufacturers, and the general aviation industry as a whole Monday afternoon at AirVenture. The company's back, and anyone who had written it off better take notice. Specifically, Avadyne announced it's combining synthetic vision and enhanced vision with a large format 15-inch integrated flight display. Avadyne says its Integra SVS offers improvements over existing systems by depicting 3D terrain all the way out to the horizon, based on the aircraft's altitude above the ground. It also depicts obstacles, traffic, and highway in the sky boxes on the PFD, enhancing utility, comfort, and safety. Pricing and availability of SVS and EVS upgrades for Integra will be announced in the future. You can see them both here at AirVenture at the display in Hangar B. L3 Avionics Systems joined the General Aviation Synthetic Vision Wars Monday at AirVenture, announcing the new capability for its SmartDeck integrated flight controls and display system. Synthetic vision will be available as an option on the new SmartDeck systems or as an add-on for existing models after certification, expected later this year. SmartDeck with synthetic vision is on display in Hangar C. ANN got to fly the company's SR-22 with a synthetic vision last week. The graphics are very crisp, the annunciator warnings are clear, and the system is highly responsive to attitude changes. L3's biggest selling point, though, may be its short direct command interface. You can see the system in action coming soon on Aero TV. Find out more details on all our stories in text form at aero-news.net. Coming up next, Diamond lays out the future of the Twin Star. Lycoming shows new technology. And Cessna notes a Skycatcher milestone. You're listening to Aero News.
Fly wise with the luxurious Piper Meridian, the affordable step into turboprop ownership, cabin class sophistication, and pure performance. Six-seat comfort, 500 horsepower turboprop, maximum cruise speed, 260 knots true, range, 1,000 nautical miles, useful load, 1,698 pounds, maximum operating altitude, 30,000 feet. The Piper Meridian, your time has come. To learn more more about the Meridian, visit us at Oshkosh Booth 79 through 82 and 72 through 75. Log on to Piper.com or call 866-FLY-PIPER.
The Evolution Flight Display is the first expandable glass cockpit system for GA aircraft. It's easy to afford, with breakthrough performance, easy to install into existing panels, and delivers enhanced safety, reduced pilot workload, and the ability to grow with you and your airplane. The Evolution Flight Display brings technology and capability, once available only in the largest aircraft or at enormous expense, to your aircraft, with little more downtime and cost than overhauling your antiquated mechanical gyros. Find out more at AspenAvionics.com.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for July 29th, 2008. I'm Paul Plack in Oshkosh. After the Daily Air Show ended yesterday, the Dreamlifter's engines spooled down, and a seemingly interminable list of upcoming events and sponsor plugs was read from the AirVenture stage. Foreigner played to a large, appreciative crowd. They sounded awfully good for a band that had its first hit 32 years ago. Guitarist Mick Jones is the only original member, but Kelly Hansen has Lou Gramm's vocal style pretty much nailed, and the current drummer is Jason Bonham, son of the legendary Led Zeppelin drummer John Bonham. Earlier yesterday at AirVenture, Diamond provided more detail on its plans for two successors to its diesel twin. The Thielert-powered DA-42 TDI will give way to the DA-42 NG, powered by the Austro AE-300 diesel, and the DA-42 L-360, featuring a normally aspirated, gasoline-powered Lycoming IO-360, a package designed specifically for the North American market. Austro-engined NG promises 26% more engine power and up to 15% better specific fuel consumption at economy power settings than the Thielert Centurion engine could deliver. Diamond says European certification of the new diesel is well underway. The DA-42L is specifically focused on North American flight training organizations or owner-operators and will be upgradable in the future to diesel power. Engine maker Lycoming Monday announced what it described as a new standard for piston engine controls in its IE Squared series engines, starting with its twin turbocharged 350 horsepower TEO540A1A flat six-cylinder. Lycoming plans to certify its new integrated electronic engine technology across its entire line. The IE Squared technology essentially brings the legacy engine configurations in line with the technology found on high-end automotive control platforms. Fuel delivery, timing, and other performance factors are managed not as overall averages as in a typical aircraft FADEC system, but individually for each cylinder. Lycoming says benefits include electronic knock detection, laying the groundwork for alternative fuels in the future, ease in starting similar to modern cars, and even automated pre-flight engine checks. Certification of the technology on the 540 is expected next year. Lycoming also had other engine advances to report Monday. Drawing from the solid O235 platform that's proven over decades, a new IO233 LSA variant has been lightened, given throttle body fuel injection and electronic ignition, and offers 100 continuous horsepower in as little as 200 pounds of dry weight. The new engine is targeted at the light sport segment, where Rotax has built a big sales lead with its 900 series water-cooled four-strokes, and Continental recently introduced its updated O200D, chosen by Cessna as the power plant for the 162 Skycatcher. The new Lycoming IO233 will enter the market with a time between overhaul of 2,400 hours. That's competitive with the Continental. And without the complexity of water cooling and the gear reduction drive found on the Rotax engines. It will also be capable of running on even low-octane auto gas, provided it contains no alcohol. Lycoming says ASTM standards testing will be completed this year, and the IO233 LSA will be considered for full FAA certification in 2009 if market demand warrants. In other engine updates, Lycoming announced that its 390 cubic inch four-cylinder engine, which has been available for several years as a power plant for experimental aircraft, will join the Lycoming certificated family by this November. The 390 fits in the same space required for the IO360, but offers slightly more power. All three new engines can be seen at Lycoming's tent at AirVenture. With all the new engine technology coming online, Lycoming also announced on Monday a program to assist existing aircraft owners wishing to install new Lycoming engines. Called the Echelon STC program, the first retrofit to be certified will be the new IO390 A1A6 engine into the Cessna 177RG. The engine installation will be STC'd in a package which includes a Macaulay prop and slick start ignition, and program launch is set for this fall. Cessna showed the public its first production 162 Skycatcher light sport aircraft yesterday morning at Oshkosh. The unveiling comes exactly a year after the program was launched, also here. Cessna says it has taken orders for more than 1,000 Skycatchers and completed 3 airframes for the program's development. Once regular production begins, all Skycatchers will be built in Shenyang, China, then shipped to the U.S. for reassembly. Deliveries are scheduled to begin in the second half of 2009. Honeywell showed off its Bendix King Apex Edge series at Oshkosh yesterday. Apex Edge is a new line of IFR-certified avionics for general aviation aircraft. Dan Barks, Honeywell's Director of General Aviation Aftermarket Avionics, says the system includes, quote, unique graphical flight planning functionality, cursor control, Honeywell iNav technology, and other features from the Primus Apex integrated flight deck, unquote. The first two units in the new Apex series are the KSN 770 Integrated Navigation and Communication Multifunction Display with an MSRP of about $14,000 and the KFD 840 Primary Flight Display with an MSRP at $17,000. Barks says Honeywell is taking orders this week for the KFD 840 with delivery starting by year's end. Orders for the KSN 770 open in October with delivery starting in the first quarter of next year. You can see them both on display in Hangar B at AirVenture. Still ahead, a hole in a 747 may have been caused by an oxygen canister. White Knight 2 makes its debut in the desert. And Embry-Riddle's Career Expo draws some big employers. You're listening to Aero News.
Okay. Right up front, let me say that Garmin does not give tax advice. We have lawyers who cringe at the very thought of suggesting there might be tax advantages to buying a new Garmin avionics system this year.
Did he say tax advantages?
Could that be construed as tax advice, either express or implied?
Yeah, like I said, lawyers. So I guess I won't be telling you that this year Congress is offering special bonus depreciation up to 50% in year one for qualified business equipment placed in service during 2008. Business equipment like, say, a new Garmin avionics stack. But you didn't hear that from me, right?
What did he just say?
Okay, better check with your tax consultant for guidance and your Garmin dealer for the installation. Garmin. Follow the leader.
See your tax advisor for guidance.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
This is Granger Whitelaw, CEO of the Rocket Racing League, a new sports entertainment league for the 21st century. You can find us at EAA AirVenture 2008 at the northwest corner of Aeroshell Square. At our exhibit, RRL Live, you can meet the pilots, receive autographs, fly simulators, and participate in games, hourly prize giveaways, and more. You will also receive a commemorative inaugural flight sticker when you sign up to become a fan of the Rocket Racing League. And come see us at Reno Air Races in September.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, July 29th, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. Investigators looking into Friday's explosive decompression incident aboard a Qantas Boeing 747 say an exploding oxygen cylinder may be to blame. As ANN reported, Flight 30 from Hong Kong to Melbourne diverted to Manila after passengers heard a loud bang, and the plane's flight crew noticed the cabin was losing pressure. The jetliner made a safe landing, but witnesses on the ground noticed the plane's right leading edge wing-to-body fairing was missing, and there was a 5-foot hole in the cargo area fuselage wall with luggage sticking out. There's been no official statement of the cause, but officials do note that the flight manifest listed an O2 cylinder stored next to where the hole appeared, and that cylinder was nowhere to be found after landing. British billionaire Sir Richard Branson showed his theatrical flair yesterday with an event in the Mojave Desert, which was teleconferenced live to an AirVenture press briefing. A crowd of engineers, dignitaries, and space enthusiasts gathered inside a Mojave Desert hangar. After a countdown, the hangar door flew open, and White Knight 2 appeared outside under the sunny desert sky, with Branson and American aerospace pioneer Burt Rutan waving from the cabin. Branson called White Knight 2, billed as the world's largest all-carbon composite aircraft, quote, "one of the most beautiful and extraordinary aviation vehicles ever developed," unquote. This is the mothership that will launch tourists into suborbital space aboard Spaceship 2, which itself is reported about 70% complete. White Knight 2 has a 140-foot wingspan, about the same as a Boeing B-29 Superfortress, and is designed to cradle Spaceship 2 under its wing and release it at 50,000 feet. Once it separates, Spaceship 2 will fire its hybrid rocket and climb 62 miles above the Earth. Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University has announced an impressive list of exhibiting employers for its 2008 Industry Career Expo and is inviting job seekers in aviation, aerospace, business, engineering, and other high-tech fields. More than 100 employers from across the nation are scheduled to participate, including AIG, American Eagle Airlines, Baker Hughes, the CIA, Hawker Beechcraft, Lockheed Martin Aeronautics Company, NetJets, Southwest Airlines, United Space Alliance, Volvo Aero Services, and Excor Aerospace. The event will be held Wednesday and Thursday, November 5th and 6th, from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. each day in the ICI Center at Embry-Riddle's Daytona Beach campus. It's free and open to the public. And finally, some investigators looking into the disappearance of adventurer Steve Fawcett have stopped laughing at the notion that he may have faked his own death and may still be alive somewhere. Lieutenant Colonel Cynthia Ryan of the U.S. Civil Air Patrol notes, neither Fawcett's body nor plane were ever found. Quote, "I've been doing this search and rescue for 14 years. Fawcett should have been found. It's not like we didn't have our eyes open. We found 6 other planes while we were looking for him. We're pretty good at what we do," unquote. Among the doors left open to the theory, only one witness claims to have seen Fawcett take off on his last flight. That same witness claims Fawcett asked him to help pre-flight the airplane, something he'd never allowed anyone else to do before. Risk assessor Robert Davis notes the Belanca Citabria Super Decathlon was constructed from a steel and wood frame but actually covered in fabric, which would make it easy to dismantle. Davis conducted an 8-month investigation for Lloyd's of London, which is going to have to pay a death benefit of £25 million, worth about $50 million U.S. if Fawcett has really died. Davis says, quote, "I discovered that there is absolutely no proof that Steve Fawcett is actually dead. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I'm a man who deals in facts, and I don't really care if he's alive or dead. What I am interested in is the truth, and a proper criminal investigation of this man's disappearance was never undertaken by law enforcement or officials in the state of Nevada," unquote. I have a question. If you find 6 old plane wrecks in the desert while looking unsuccessfully for the 7th, is that really proof that you were pretty good the 7th time? I'm just saying. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, we'll take you to the morning press briefing at which Vern Rayburn announced his resignation from Eclipse Aviation and acting CEO Roel Pieper took the reins. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.